Shocker, how are you?
I'm good today, buddy. How you doing?
Good. So I'll get you to answer the question. We all would concur McDavid is likely the best forward and the most important forward for the Edmonton Oilers this season. So the question is not who's the best, but who do you think is the second most important forward for the Oilers' success this season?
All right, let me think about that for a second. Second most important forward for their success. Probably Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
How come?
Well, I think we all know McDavid's going to play a lot and is going to generate a lot. And I think Ryan, they're just really going to need a good number two center, a really good, consistent number two center that can play, you know, like if Ryan can have a reliable two-way game that's got the level of offense in it that he's shown, you know, that he has the potential for, it's just a critical thing to have. So, yeah, I just think he plays a crucial role on that team. And if he has a really good year, the kind of year that he's been waiting to have, then I would probably say him. Who did you say? By the way, that's just, I didn't know you guys were talking about that, so that's just off the top of my head.
Well, to me, for second most important forward, I thought it really came down to three players, Eberle, Lucic, and Nugent-Hopkins. And it depends on a variety of different things, right? Like the Edmonton Oilers, they got to score more goals. And their most proven goal scorer is Eberle. So there's value there for sure. I look at Nugent-Hopkins, and I lean to him in my article in the Edmonton Journal because the position he plays, and also last year, like when him and McDavid were both healthy in the first 13 games, Nugent-Hopkins had 11 points. You know, McDavid was facing, and he was playing with Hall, so he was still facing some tough minutes, and him and Hall had a lot of success. McDavid went down, Hall moved to Draisaitl, and the next 33 games, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had 3 goals, right? And that's, so if you look at the success of this team, because even when McDavid was healthy, in his 45 games, the Oilers only won 35% of those games. They actually had a lower winning percentage with McDavid than without. And it just illustrates the importance of the other guys in the team. And when I look at the Oilers and I see Nugent-Hopkins, who's their second, you know, obviously he's their most senior offensive centerman between the three of them, but McDavid's the best, that this is the year he has to be the player he was 2 years ago in 2014. If he can be the guy who has 24 goals and 56 points, and then you have McDavid as your number one center, suddenly now you have two legit scoring lines and you've got a reason to be successful and competitive. And so, you know, I look at Lucic, who's going to lead in different ways and bring different elements, but I expect he'll play with McDavid, or maybe at some point he'll play with Nugent-Hopkins. But for me, Nugent-Hopkins has to be that guy right now. I couldn't put it on Draisaitl because he's too young.
Yeah, and the thing about Ryan, like with Lucic, I think we have a pretty good idea of what the Oilers will get from him. He kind of comes as advertised. He's going to hit lots of people. He's going to intimidate. He'll probably, if he plays a lot with Connor McDavid, he'll probably push 25 goals or more. Like that's kind of what's expected from Lucic. With Draisaitl, I agree with you. He's still young to be putting that kind of pressure on, and there's a chance he could see some time this year out of position on the wing. Nugent-Hopkins is the one who could push a level that we haven't seen yet. There's still untapped potential with Nugent-Hopkins, and so it's important for the Oilers that he maybe start tapping into a little bit more of that, or going back to, like you said, a couple of years ago, what his totals looked like. So that's the thing. Is for everybody else, they just kind of need to come in and do what they're expected to do and do what they've done. But for Nugent-Hopkins, I think there's more there. And if he can hit that, if he can do that, then that's huge for the organization.
Untapped potential in what way?
Well, I think that Ryan had to put a lot of early focus in his career on survival and on tough matchups and playing against a lot of other more experienced veteran centermen. And I think that for a number one pick coming in, you get drafted. He wasn't drafted as a two-way center. He was drafted as an offensive center. So I just think that as he gets more and more comfortable in that role of kind of understanding there needs to be a two-way element to his game, maybe he can push the offense a little bit more. I think that there's probably a little bit of untapped offensive potential in Nugent-Hopkins. I don't think they picked him number one overall, thinking he would be a really good 56-point two-way center. So I think that, you know, maybe there's another level of offense that's possible.
You look at Nugent Hopkins, and is a lot of his success going to be coming maybe being the main guy on the half wall in the second unit power play?
Yeah, I think, I mean, power play points are going to be important for Ryan to be able to push through to that next level points-wise, for sure. You know, how it all fleshes out and where they put him, I mean, that makes sense. Obviously, Connor's going to get the premier offensive power play center minutes. You know, I don't think it's unrealistic to expect Ryan to push a decent number of even strength points too, though. I mean, he's going to have decent wingers on both sides of him. So I don't know. I think that there's another level for Ryan to hit, and whether that's, you know, like you say, on a second unit power play, whether that's if they find a spot for him on the top unit, now that Hall's gone, who knows? But I think that it's there for him. But I think he's sacrificed a lot of offense in the last few years in the name of trying to play the game a certain way to give his team a chance to win every night. Not a lot of number one overall picks are asked to do that. For the most part, they get to just fly by the seat of their pants and have at it. Ryan's never really had that luxury because he's a team guy and tried to play in a way that helps his team win and not the way that gets him his cookies.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us for Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. The interesting thing about Nugent Hopkins is in the last 4 years, he's played 251 games. Yakupov's played 252. And he only has 9 more goals than Yakupov, right? And and the thing was, he had 4 in the lockout year, and he only had 12 last year. At 24 the previous year in 19, which is, you know, 19 to 24 year. Nowadays, if you're a guy who's averaging 22 goals a season, that's fairly productive. There's very few guys who do that time and time again. And you know, last year, we didn't really see that snapshot from Nugent Hopkins.
Yeah, we need to see it more. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I've been sitting up there with you in the press box when he lets it go, and we kind of look at each other and go, oh, he needs to use that more. I mean, I don't even know what his shot totals are. I don't have it all in front of me. All I know is when you see him shoot the puck, how fast his release is and how heavy and hard that shot is, he needs to use it more. And, yeah, no debate for me on that. He needs to shoot the puck more and more and more because he's got a sneaky hard shot. And if he does that, if he commits to that, if he gets into that mindset early and commits to that, then maybe he can find himself back up in that range of 24, 25, 27 goals. I think he absolutely has the skill to do it. It's just making it a priority in your game.
I think one of the most overanalyzed things of the hockey season, which is only a week old, is the supposed struggles of Connor McDavid because he's gone pointless in 2 pre-tournament games. If I'm an Oilers fan, I'm actually fist pumping because to me, pre-tournament games mean a whole lot of nothing in a short tournament. Like all I remember last year is Anton Lander having 5 goals in the preseason and doing nothing in the entire regular season. Like McDavid, when the regular season comes, just like people used to critique Crosby when he'd have a slow start and then he'd end up as the leading scorer in the league. You know what? I think it's way too early to have any sort of concern over Connor McDavid.
Sure. But at the same time, I'll play devil's advocate a little bit, and there's a difference between concern and suggesting that there's a problem and pointing out that the team has scored 11 goals and he doesn't have any of them. I mean, I think that's fair. Anytime Connor McDavid goes a few games without a point, people are going to ask about it because that's the standard that players of that ilk are held to. So I have no issue at all. Like Speck was the one in the scrum that asked it to him after that second exhibition game. I have no problem with the way he put it. And I don't have a problem with Connor maybe getting his back up a little bit about it. It was like, look, man, the World Championship. I ran into this exact thing at the World Championship, being the ringside reporter and having to talk to these guys. Connor didn't have a goal in the tournament. And here they were in a gold medal game, and he scores. Anytime Connor McDavid goes 5, 6, 7 games without scoring a goal, people are going to notice and questions are going to be asked. It doesn't mean the journalists, it's bad journalism. It's just, that's just the standard he's held to. Now, anybody suggesting there's some big problem right now after 2 exhibition games is ridiculous, but I haven't heard that, maybe outside of some, you know, hair on fire kind of fans. I don't think any. I mean, I haven't seen anybody reporting that there's a problem or suggesting that there's some big issue. But 11 goals, his team has scored. He's the number one center, and he doesn't have either of them. So any of them. So notable.
Well, he has the luxury of now playing with the player who I think has been the best player as far as creating offense and just looking like a man in that series is Nathan MacKinnon. MacKinnon's been unbelievable. Like he's one of those players you kind of forget because you don't get to see all the time. And man, big and strong and can absolutely fly. He has been dynamic.
Yeah, he's unreal. I remember going down when Patrick Watt took the coaching job down there. We went down and covered them in training camp, and it was my first good look at Nate MacKinnon, you know, with NHL players out there. And he's got just world class feet. I mean, his foot speed, his top speed on ice is incredible, and he's got hands to match. And it's very seldom you find that combination of that kind of speed. I mean, it's like Andrew Cogliano type speed, right? Top 1% in the league. But Andrew doesn't have the hands and the processing power. To me, MacKinnon has the same type of speed and feet, maybe not quite as shifty as Connor is, but same kind of speed and really, really high end hands. He doesn't process the game at quite the same level. His decision-making and playmaking isn't quite the same. But in those two skill sets, he's right up there with the best there are.
Ryan Schrock from TSN joins us. Schrock, looking at, you know, a lot of people in Edmonton feel, okay, the orders have improved. And sure, mm-hmm. I think you can make that argument. We'll see how much. The problem is the Arizona Coyotes look like they've improved a lot, right? The Winnipeg Jets look like they've improved a lot. Like, the Oilers, when we talk improvement, do you think they've improved enough to be a legit playoff contender?
It's a tough question to ask or to answer because I don't know enough about Adam Larson yet. I just don't. I want to adding a right shot number two defenseman for what was wrong with the Oilers is massive. Massive for that team if that's what they've done. If Adam Larson is legitimately top pairing right side guy, numbers like a solid number, rock solid number two, that's going to be used the way I think they're going to try and use him. If that's what he is, then yeah, I think they've improved themselves so significantly on the blue line because they were so sorely lacking that. And all we did was rail on that team for the blue line. So if that has been partially fixed on that level, then there could be significant improvement in that Oilers team. For sure there could be. Now, is it enough to get them into the playoffs? Well, everybody else has improved too, as you point out. I'll just go at it from just strictly the Oilers perspective. That was one of the things, that was the main thing that they had to start chipping away at. And if he's for real, and if they've read it right, and he's taken another step in the right direction, then that's massive improvement for the team. So, I don't know, I'm kind of hedging it a little bit. Whether they have a chance to make the playoffs or not, I would say it's unlikely that they turn it hard enough to make the playoffs this year, but significant improvement and to be in the conversation, I think they've done enough that it's a possibility. I mean, really, it comes down to Cam Talbot too, doesn't it? If Cam Talbot is one of the best goalies in the conference this year, that alone could push them huge in that direction.
These were the teams, Colorado, Arizona, Winnipeg, Calgary, Vancouver, and Edmonton, who didn't make the playoffs. Out of those six, which one do you think has the best chance to make it this year?
Colorado, Arizona, Winnipeg, Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton. Yeah, well, I mean, I definitely like what the Oilers did. I would put them ahead of Calgary based on the change, or ahead of Vancouver based on the changes they've made. Arizona. You know what? I might think that it's you know, the Colorado Avalanche made some important changes too. I think getting Patrick Waugh out of there was important. They've still managed to hang on to the bulk of their skill. They didn't get crazy and start firing guys out of town like everybody thought they might. So I think there's definitely a chance Colorado could take a step forward under different leadership. So I'll say, I would probably say them, but I do think the Oilers are in the conversation as far as teams that have fixed what was wrong with them and have a chance to really make significant improvement. I don't think that's unreasonable for what they've gone and done.
Shogger, your Steelers are 1-0.
Yeah, I haven't even watched the highlights yet. No. I got to be totally honest with you, but I'm happy as can be, buddy.
Well, this will be the last time, so just keep in mind there will be Steeler trivia at random. So know your freaking team. If you're going to cheer for them, then you know them. Understand who Antonio Brown is. That's a pretty easy one. If you don't know who Antonio Brown is by this time tomorrow, pretty much just retire from sports, because it's if you don't know who Antonio Brown is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, come on now. Because he's the best receiver in the league.
I'm going to go back and watch the game.
Yeah. Well, buddy, just watch the highlights. Read the stats page. That's all you need to know. Big Ben, by the way, passing Joe Montana on the all-time touchdown passing list last night.
There you go. See, man, I'm a front runner. I picked the winners.
I like that you admitted that. Chugger, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, see ya.